On this week's show, 5 fans speak to me about the return to the stadium, and we catch up with Simon Finnegan. Welcome to Widnes Rugby Chat, episode 50, and fans are back. A special episode of the podcast, this one. I've spoke to a handful of fans about the return to the stadium last week for the win against Whitehaven, so that'll be coming up later in the show. And I've also had a sit down with Vikings head coach Simon Finnegan, who gives a bit of an update on where the squad's at, what the injury latest is, a bit of recruitment talk as well, and we also talk about some of the informed players and how they've had an impact on things. Thanks, as always, to sponsors PD Law Solicitors, Arnold Gorse Financial Management, Parklands FC and Whistle. A shout-out as well to Tom Freeman, who's connected to the Parklands Club as well. He managed to win at Wembley at the weekend as Warrington Rylands won the FA Vars. So we'll get into a few fan clips first. Thanks to all the fans that messaged me on Twitter, and may well do some more fan-related podcasts, as it was quite enjoyable. So we'll cut into a few of those now before we hear from Simon Finnegan. So, Kev, tell us about the experience of returning to the stadium at the weekend.
Well, I thought it was really good. And as you've probably seen on my Twitter, I like a moan. So, but it was brilliant because I thought the stewards were excellent. I'm exempt from wearing a mask, and I had proof in that. They didn't ask for it. They just gave me a tag. They were brilliant. Brilliant with my son, because he can be a nightmare. Like,
how early did you have to arrive?
Well, I deliberately picked the latest possible one. Oh. So we was in the West End Block F, I think it was. Right. So we got in there for 3:15.
Oh, that's great. I might come with you next week then.
Yeah, just a bit of overkill, I think, getting people to arrive that early. But fortunately enough, I chose my seats well.
Yeah, definitely. And so I suppose you didn't have to worry about keeping him entertained for too long.
Took him some sweets in and he was happy.
there you go. And so generally, well, I suppose you probably had a better experience than most people, and given you only got there 15 minutes before kickoff. And
yeah, and obviously, I think winning as well. You know what I mean? That was the main experience. It was good. It was good to see him again. It was good to see him get a win.
Yeah. How old's your lad?
He's 6.
So has he missed it? You know, has he been asking to go and stuff like that?
Yeah. The only thing I have to explain to him, because he loves going down and getting pictures with the players, so I have to explain to him that he wasn't allowed to do that, but Danny Craven gave him a bit of a wave, so he was made up with that.
Yeah, I did see a few of the players actually make an effort to wave out at kids and stuff, were shouting, you know, especially when they walked around at the end as well. And obviously, there's the kid on Twitter, isn't there, that I think Danny Craven's given him a pair of boots, yeah, or something, because he was celebrating. Brilliant. in the background. So, I mean, do you think... So, I mean, I suppose generally as a parent and whatever, you're happy to come back to matches now based on how they was organised?
Yeah, I think they've done really well. I mean, if I'm honest, I think the mask's probably a bit overkill because the way people are spaced out. But obviously, rules are rules, aren't they?
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk, you know, there's a lot of... I think the problem with the rules is that they're quite ambiguous, so it's like you can interpret them. It's a bit, well, to be honest, it's a bit like a lot of the rugby league rules. they're a bit ambiguous, it's a bit open to interpretation, so that's why some grounds are being a bit, you know, a bit more strict on it than others. I think I tweeted that, I think, you know, you can, when you sat down at a pub, you can take your mask off, so I'm a bit like, well, if you sat in your seat in the ground, maybe you can take your mask off, but then put it back on when you're moving around. But then someone did say to me, because people are more inclined to shout and scream and stuff at the rugby, that's perhaps why they wear the mask. So when you're shouting offside, get them onside or something, it doesn't spray somebody else.
Well, that's it. You can see both sides, because before the game, I was sat in leggies, sat down with no mask on, closer to people than I was sat at the game. So you can see that point. But
yeah. What are your hopes for the rest of the season?
I just want to... I want it to get back to normal. I was like everyone else. In regards to the rugby, I think we need to kick on a little bit, and I think Sunday was great for that.
I normally sit in the northwest corner, and I was virtually in the same seat that I sit in every week. I'm the guy with a massive black and white checkered flag, normally. Unfortunately, on Sunday, they said I couldn't wave it because it didn't have a fire safety label on it.
Right.
So I asked the head steward, Mr. Black, what's been the issue the last couple of years, because I've been bringing it in for the last 2 years and there's never been a problem. He said, well, we've had a clamp down now. So if it's not got a label on, you can't use it. And the other lads, one of the other lads in the northwest corner, he was told exactly the same. So it's like, you are kidding. And it's not the first time I've had an issue with the flag. The last full season we had, two games from the end of the season, a steward approached me and asked me to move it. And I said, why? He said, it's causing an obstruction. And where I sit, right in the northwest corner, the first set of steps that come up from underneath, I sit right next to that, and I put the flag on the pole, extended, and lay it down the wall, the side of the wall, and it comes up over the back seat, and it'd been there all year. And he said, who said I've got to move it? And he said, the control room. And I said, oh, Bruce. I politely told him what to do. I said, it's been there all year. It's not been an issue all year. So suddenly, two games from the end of the season, it suddenly became a problem. So it stayed. I said, where do you want me to put it? He said, just put it up there. And then when you wave it, you go and get it. I said, so you want me to put it behind that row of seats, then climb over the seats to get it? Surely that tells him to safety. And so I said, no, it's staying there. It's been there all year. So tell him to go and do one. And I knew he had the camera on me because I worked there as a steward anyway for years. So I knew where the camera was. So I said, tell him to go and do one. So he went away, come back 5 minutes later. Have you got a minute? Took me downstairs. Bruce has seen you pointing in this direction. I said, well, if he's got a problem, tell him to come over here and see me. But the flag's staying there.
It wasn't that the flag had COVID or anything like that.
No, this was like 2 years ago now. Well, the last full season. And I've been away games with it, not been a problem. The only place he had an issue away was usually because he said I couldn't bring the pole in. Right, yeah, not a problem. Threw it back in the car and then just hung the flag up on the fence. But other than that, it was great to be back. Absolutely buzzing to be back. And I felt that the lads needed us. And I think that showed in the performance, because that was by far and away our best performance of the season. The discipline was spot on. There was a couple of niggly penalties that we need to stop doing. But overall, I think the discipline was spot on. Some of the rugby we played was brilliant. Danny Craven was outstanding again. Jacko, and the side that we put out, that's the strongest side that we've had managed to put out this year. We're still only missing. There's only Logan and Mr. Jewett missing. God knows when the pair of them will be back. Logan's obviously got a problem with his foot. But it doesn't seem to be bothering running up and down a ladder every day in his work. But I know it's slightly different.
We might find out a bit more about that later in this podcast, actually, because I have spoken to about that.
And then there's a rumour going round. There's an issue around Jewett over his contract that Tim Sheens agreed with him, allegedly, that he only had to train on a Saturday and play on a Sunday.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one, but you'll find out. Simon and got to the bottom of it, so you'll find out.
It was one of them. The worrying thing from the first part of the season was obviously the collapse at Batley, and then obviously the Toulouse one. But I wasn't expecting to compete with Toulouse, given the strength of their squad, but I certainly wasn't expecting they did it. But when you look at it, they've done it 3 weeks running now, so we're not the first. We probably won't be the last with the strength of depth they've got in their squad. But when you look at the results, when you look back to the first result against Newcastle, well, then you think, well, yeah, we should have won the game. But when you look at it now and given their results, you think, well, actually, that was a good point.
What are your hopes for the rest of the season? Realistically, where do you think?
Well, it's one of them. If we can keep everyone fit now and get Logan and Lee back and have a fully fit squad and put a side out that can compete, I think having the fans back behind them will certainly help them. But I'm certain we can push on now and push for the top five. That's got to be the goal, finishing the playoffs. Because then once you're in, anything can happen. It's on the day. But it's just a matter of building it back up now. And obviously moving forward, it's building the finances up and then to make the club stronger, sell more season tickets, get more fans back into the ground. But it's just pushing on now from that. Hopefully that'll give the players a lot of confidence, the way they performed on Sunday. But you could see that they got a buzz from it, from having the fans back. You could see they drew off that.
So first home game back with fans, Simon, and the first one for you as coach in front of fans, and it went pretty well.
Yeah, and I mean, I go out and watch the warm-up, obviously, and I spoke about it too, watching the Super League games and the football games with fans and being jealous, and it does make a difference. It was clear they went out for warm-up and they got a clap and a bit, some chance for it straight away. And, I mean, in the games, you just got to feel it. Certain times when the crowd are there cheering, it does make a huge difference. And, it was really enjoyable having fans there. It was because I think it did make a big impact on us.
Were you a little bit worried about the reception of fans, or were the players a bit worried about the reception of fans? Because obviously the start of the season hasn't gone as well as you would have liked.
Well, it's not something we spoke about. I wasn't worried about what, because I've been at this club as a player and a coach. I wouldn't have thought, and I didn't believe that it would be negative towards the players immediately, because, that I think they were just happy to be back as well. And there was no sense of that going into the game. You never quite know, but I there was certainly no element of that that was spoke about. And yesterday, anyone that was there, they were certainly the opposite. They were straight away all over the players and they were really positive towards them. So hopefully the boys and the club did something. You put a little bit of back toward them as well yesterday, because I thought the performance certainly was better.
Yeah, the nature of the game certainly helped having the fans back. Where do you rank that in terms of the performances this season? I know there's been a few halves here and there that have been a lot more positive than others, but where did yesterday stand amongst all them?
I think, well, it was probably one of our better performances overall, for all the different reasons that are clear. But we're making little steps. We're a work in progress. We're never going to be the finished article just yet. And yesterday was one of the first times we had a good rotation on the bench and all different things that certainly contribute to what we're trying to achieve. I'm not going to sit here and say we've been good so far, because we haven't, but there's certain glimpses in games that where you can see what we're trying to do. And then there's where we're getting it wrong. We know where we're getting it wrong as a group. So it was a good performance yesterday, but a lot of factors played into that as well, because we had some bodies back and the crowd being back certainly helped. But it was a better step towards where we need to be.
You mentioned about the rotations, and clearly the bench, I suppose the most obvious way of judging that is by looking at the starting bench, isn't it? And I suppose you must have wished you had that starting bench perhaps last week against York, because that game may have gone a very different way had you had that strength.
Yeah, in hindsight and all these things, we want these things, but I mean, clearly it would help. Whether it influences the results, no one can tell, but it would play an impact because the players that are on the field can play a different way and they can put more into it. And then the players that have come on have got to come on and replicate what they've done. But having the options there and what you can do during a game certainly helps because, we had four forwards on the bench yesterday, which is, again, it's unheard of for us this season to have four forwards on the bench because most games we probably had two back. So it certainly helps everything you can do, the options it gives you. But in saying that, the people that are in the 17 have to perform as well because it doesn't matter if you've got a great bench. If they don't come on and perform or up the standard, then it's irrelevant who's on the bench. Then that goes for the team that starts as well. The middles have to start the game well for their middles that come off the bench to be in the game.
What can you do to sort of maintain this level of availability now? Because, you know, really looking at the squad yesterday, there was only Lee Jewett that wasn't there, obviously apart from Logan Tompkins in terms of forwards. What can you do to try and make sure that, well, I suppose then to keep fit, but just to make sure that you're stronger and you have these rotations moving forward?
Well, we've still got Wilder as well, the young back rower who's unavailable at the moment, but he'll be training this week. So apart from that, you know, it's some of it's down to luck as well. You know, we can't dictate what injuries we get, and hopefully that we don't get too many for the foreseeable future. But again, the fact that they're playing less minutes, some of their middles as well, will certainly have a knock-on effect to their bodies because I think before yesterday, the majority of their middles have been playing big minutes, which also risk your injury thing there. So that's going to help. But in terms of how we manage it, we won't change a lot of what we're doing. It's not the way we train and what we're doing to get them on the field. We think it's working. And then how we manage certain people like yesterday, Cookie himself didn't go back on. He didn't. It wasn't through injury that we didn't put him back on. But, you know, clearly he's only played two games in 6 weeks or whatever it is, you know, so putting him back out there to risk his injury, we probably didn't need yesterday. So again, that will help knock it, you know, as we move forward. And the boys that have been out there also, some of their bodies, like Will Talik, he'll be battled hard and he's playing better minutes now. So that all of these factors has a knock-on effect to how we can keep them on the field.
Yeah, Will obviously scored a try yesterday's first game. He's almost got the potential to turn into a bit of a cult hero, hasn't he?
He has, and I think you see the reaction for the squad after he scored the try to what, you know, what it means for the squad together to see, because we all love young lads being in the team and what they give to the team, but they have to perform as well. And I think the lads appreciate, and the club, myself included, that how much effort he's put in, one, to get himself in the team, and then, you know, that's not stopped to keep himself in the team. So yeah, he has got that look about him, be a cult hero. But, you know, we want that, don't we? I mean, I was up out of my seat jumping up because that's what we want. We want to see these individuals play it. He's a local lad as well, but he's not got that. He's got that through merit because, you know, he works so hard behind the scenes to keep himself in the team, and that's what you get rewarded for.
Matty Smith's moved to Lewes Ford the past couple of games and that seems to have gone well. How did that come about? I mean, I know sometimes you're forced to play players out of position just because of availability, but was that something you discussed and where did that come from?
Yeah, it wasn't. That wasn't done out of, you know, being lack of bodies. That's just something as a staff and as the players, we got together and we thought, how can we do something a little bit different that will benefit the team, you know? And clearly, one, the player has to be able to physically handle it and want to do it. And I think, well, it's clear to see that Matty can handle it physically, but also that, you know, a halfback going into the middle isn't for everyone. So it shows, you know, his dedication and what he's given to the team. But yeah, it was just something we thought that might benefit, you know, how we use the ball and the benefit the team. And also the middles around him can rotate around and give everything when they're on the field. So at the moment, it seems to work pretty well. And it frees up Danny and Joey on an edge as well to play what they see, which it was a collective thing that we've thought, maybe how can we get a little bit better out of our team, but having the other middles that can rotate around him helps as well. We clearly couldn't have done that earlier on in the season with probably only three middles in each 17, then it becomes a bit more difficult. But certainly for what the foreseeable future and the middles that we've got fit, we can keep pushing that that style of play we're using.
And obviously, there's a bit of a nice option to rotate with Brad O'Neill, who can sort of play both of those positions as well.
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, Brad, since he's come in, has been terrific. And probably the game, a couple of games before that, he played too many minutes. But that was because of the lack of forwards we had on the bench, and he sort of had to stay out there. But now we've got them options that we can move. Like Matty went up to 9 just before halftime on the weekend to give Brad a rest. And we brought that extra middle on, your genuine middle, so to speak. So that give Brad a different type of rest. So then he come back on. But again, that I think we've got players within our squad that can move around when we've got all our middles fit. It's we've got that rotation and players that can play out of position. And also because of, you know, the struggles we had certainly at the start of the year between our nines and middles, that, you know, we've had Joey in there, we've had Lewis Else in there. That so we've got some people now that we can move around and keep that attacking threat, which is pleasing in that way.
And Adam Lawton's sort of building up some form, and that seems to be working with him on the shoulder of Joel Lyons and crashing onto the ball a bit more. Have you been impressed with his progress?
I have, yeah. I thought yesterday it was probably his best game for the club since he's come back, you know, and I, the first stint he had against York the week before, I thought he was very good. And I think there was parts of the second stint in that York game that weren't quite, you know, as good as his first. But I think certainly the last few games he's been really, really good, and he's working hard, you know, to get the other parts really good for him. But I'm pleased for him yesterday because I thought it was an important day for him to put in that performance with the fans being back. And, you know, he gives a lot to the team, and we know the things he's got to work on, and he knows himself, and he tries his best to work on them. But I thought it was a really good, solid performance from him yesterday. You could see the damage he could do when he's on it.
What was the situation with Shane Grady? Obviously, he wasn't in your squad, and then he came back, and you sacrificed an interchange, which I suppose couldn't have been a light decision for you to make, given what's happened so far this season.
No, it wasn't, and it's difficult sometimes being part-time and these things, because Shane, similar to Connor, you know, Shane works shifts, so he's rotate. He was always down not to play this week because of his shift pattern, and it was touch and go right up until the squad, but then he didn't look like he'd get him off. And because of how it works with COVID and red zones and amber zones and who you can and can't have in it, it's really difficult to name people at the moment that are touch and go. Certainly with work, if they're injuries, it's slightly different. But we sort of had to put a line through it and prepare as if he wasn't playing. And then we got a late call, or I got one on Sunday morning from him saying that he'd been let go from, not let go, he'd been sent home early from work. So obviously he clearly gives a lot to the team, doesn't he? He's one of our senior players. So to have him into the 17 gives everyone a boost. And we just thought it was the right decision. Well, I thought, you know, it was my decision to run with the extra sub or lose the sub, because, you know, our injuries have dictated to before we can manage with a sub down, and certainly a middles down. So that wasn't a worry in terms of the interchange, but we just thought it'd give us all a boost if we could drop him in at that late notice, which I think, you know, he's been very good consistently. So, and the boys around that can manage that less interchange, because most of my interchanges, I normally save 3 for the back end of the game anyway. So it worked out in our favour. But, you know, that was a call that I thought was the right one to make.
What is the injury situation with Logan Tompkins? Where is he up to? I know, I think last time we spoke, he was just starting to maybe do it, the next stage of his rehab.
He's on to that stage now, which is he's walking. He's getting to that point where we can start loading it a little bit more. So he's still a fair way off. We're not sure exactly, because this is the crucial part now where we start to load it and hopefully get to the running stage. But that, as we've said before, that's the difficult part of the next stage, because that's where we could get the flare-ups and the setbacks. But again, he's not close, but hopefully he gets through this next period, because, you know, he's a loss, just a loss at having around training. He's such an experienced person and how he speaks. So, you know, but I think in terms of Brad, I think he's been excellent for us. You know, he's a young kid, a 19-year-old, and obviously it's clear we see what he can do on the field, but there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that he's really stepping up and having a voice in, which is very pleasing.
Do you think we'll see Logan at all this season?
I think so, yeah. I, he's the type of character that'll be doing everything possible to get him on the field. Our medical team are working hard to do that as well. So I'd be shocked if we don't see him. I just can't say when, which, again, that, you know, I'm not a physio, but it would be in the near future. But I'd be disappointed if we didn't see him this year on the field. I think there'll be some point where we do.
And I suppose it must be difficult as well for the injured players, because I guess with all the COVID restrictions, they're not really allowed to come into the ground and mix, whereas normally injured players perhaps might be sat in the stand cheering players on.
Yeah, it is hard, because, I mean, even yesterday you come and you've got Brooks here and Wildy and them type of Lloyd there that you don't see till just before kickoff. So it is difficult, because, you know, they're so close, this group as well. They're a really good group and they spend a lot of time together, obviously, at training. And we, even though they're not in the match day squad and things like that, they're still a huge part of what we do. And you want them to be there. And even, you know, when we suffer and have them losses, because they can pick people up. But certainly when, you know, after the training room yesterday, you want them type of people around, because it doesn't feel quite right. If I'm honest, it doesn't feel right that it's only the 19 that get to feel that on a match day. I feel, yeah, it doesn't sit quite right with me, but I understand the circumstances and how that is. Not just them, the players, the board as well. You know, they're up there from afar that don't get to experience all the other stuff on a match day around the team. And even in training, they don't get to spend that time around the players, because they play a huge part in what we do. You know, plus they take a lot of the criticism and all that stuff. So it would be handy if they were there feeling the nice stuff that we get to feel as a team, you know, around us as well.
What's the situation with Lee Jewett at the moment?
He's still a few weeks off being injured. I'm not sure when we'll get him back, because he's got trouble with his knees and things like that. So we just got to manage that carefully of how he can get him back on the field. It's a one not too dissimilar to Logan, where we've got to make sure he's right before we can't really push him.
And are you looking, or are you expecting to add any more bodies? I know we sort of had a chat before we recorded about the difficulty with the loan market at the moment.
Yeah, we're always looking. We don't stop looking week to week who's available. We've got players that we always ask clubs about who, when they might be available. I know it certainly at this time the Super League clubs are quite reluctant to let people go. I think they may have three games coming up in 8 days, something like that, or I don't know the exact fixture list, but there's certainly a reluctance at that level to let people out at the moment. So we're getting a lot. Yeah, they might be available next week and then things change. But at the moment, we're looking, but unless someone that we need to really enhance our squad, we've got some bodies back for the time being. But, you know, it's that picture changes quite regularly, especially at this club, you know, where we've been at the moment. But, you know, we're always asking the questions if they become available or we need that, then there's opportunities there.
At what point do you start looking at next season? Because obviously the anti-tampering deadline's passed for players on contract and stuff like that. Is that something that you've already started looking at for recruitment for next year, or is it a case of you've got to get this season sort of sorted first?
No, we're that's ongoing. That doesn't stop. The recruitment, you're always looking at about how we can shape it for next season and things like that. We're a little bit dictated by the RFL in terms of what the money that goes out and things like that, and that's a bit slow, but that's not their reasoning as well. They've sorted out the Super League deals and all these things, so that you're slightly dictated by that, but it's ongoing, the recruitment. But we'll also be looking at internally as well how we're going to because there's a lot of people out of contract at this club for next year, so that's under discussion with the board. That's ongoing weekly, where we think this squad's going to be and shape up for next season. But yeah, we wouldn't be doing it too late. Certainly not. It's ongoing.
Yeah, because is there any concern that any of the players at the moment may be speaking to other clubs for next season?
Possibly, but that's the game we're in, isn't it? We can't be dictated by that. We have a process that we do and how we do recruitment, and that's ongoing, like I said. So I would be very unsurprised if players aren't doing that. But again, a lot of clubs will be in the same boat. I don't think a load of them will be pulling the trigger on certain players at the moment. We've already re-signed Jack Owens. I think we'll be speaking to other players within our squad as well as we move forward.
And just enlighten us a little bit about the gym situation and the training situation, because I know we had a little chat before, and actually I think the fans might be quite interested to learn of the difficulties that you have with the gym situation and players having to train alone, and how that affects things.
Yeah, well, it's the intensity in the gym is certainly different to what it would usually be like, because, you know, for example, you come in and you train in pairs and things like that, so you're obviously pushing each other as you go, and now you have to train by yourself. As soon as you finish, you have to wipe down equipment, you have to move around, players can't just jump on the next exercise, you have to be separated in the gym and things like that. So it would be very similar to what you would be for a public gym, in terms of, obviously, you wouldn't just go up to anyone in the public and jump on a machine with them and things like that. You have to wait your turn and things like that. So it delays how quick you can do things. And it's just a less intense environment at the moment. That's stepped up a little bit the last 2 weeks or so, because there's certain things we're allowed to do a bit more in the gym now. But the gym environment has probably been the most affected, I would say, around the COVID restrictions, because of them reasons. You can only have a certain number in the gym. It's very individualized of how you got to do things in the gym, instead of it being a team or a group environment. So hopefully that will start to be relaxed as we go forward, because the gym needs to be intense and that will certainly help. But yeah, it's an odd one at the moment. It certainly feels like a different place in the gym than would what a normal place would be, or certainly a normal sporting environment.
You've got a big couple of weeks coming up away from home, Oldham in the league this weekend, which I guess is almost a bit like a must win, because you want to try and propel yourself up towards maybe back end of the play, you know, looking at the playoffs again, rather than looking, you know, beneath you.
Yeah, we've got Oldham this week away, and to be honest, our away form isn't good. That's an understatement. It's not anywhere near what it needs to be. So again, it's a different challenge, but the little building blocks we're doing will put us in the right frame of mind to win games. That's the most important thing at the moment. I know we need to win, obviously, but certainly our performances and what we put into games moving forward, well, that'll dictate if we win or not. But we just got to keep getting better at all them areas, and the results will take care of themselves. And then there's obviously the semi-final to look forward to as well. But I think addressing our away form is a must. You know, certainly our Yorkshire away form, but I think in general our away form needs to be a whole lot better than it is at the moment. So that's a different challenge and something we need to step up and improve.
Has the Featherstone game almost become a bit like a free hit, because no one will necessarily be expecting Widnes to turn Featherstone over? So you almost go into that game with nothing to lose. Do you feel like that's the case? Yeah. Or?
I'm not so sure that this club dictates that we get free hits at anyone. I think I understand the point of view that, yeah, they're probably favourites. No one really expects us, but the way the Widnes fans are and what they expect of us, I'm not sure we get a free hit at anything. I think that might be that, they might possibly not expect us to win, but I still would believe that we have to go there and put a performance in, because that's where we don't get free hits. Certainly at this club, I think we have to go and have a goal at them. And we've been in this position before where no one gives us a chance in a game. I think last year, no one gave us a chance at Lee and we ended up turning them over. So yeah, we're clearly not going to go in as favourites. Featherstone are favourites. They got ambitions to be in Super League this year, but yeah, I'm not, we wouldn't be using it as a free hit. We'll be going there to put in a huge performance, but we've got to focus on the first week first, which is Oldham. And again, addressing our away form is important.
A few more stories from fans coming up. If you didn't go to the game at the weekend, it was limited to season ticket holders only. You had allocated times to arrive. You had to wear a mask at all times. But generally, it was fairly well organised. The exit procedure probably needed a bit of fine-tuning, but clearly good to get things back. I know that, well, I have been critical about the number of fans. I believe that efforts are being made to try and increase the number of fans in the stadium, but may not happen in the short term. The roadmap changes back end of June, I believe, so we may see some more there. People have asked about the mask. It's something to do with shouting, so you don't spray other people when you're singing and shouting at the game. And then in terms of the process of getting tickets, clearly they need to know everyone who's in the ground for test and trace purposes. But Again, we'll speak to a few more fans here, hear from a few more fans, and see what they thought of the overall experience, and most importantly, being back in the ground.
The stamp duty holiday is being extended on all properties until the end of June. So if you're thinking of moving house, make sure you instruct your local solicitors, PD Law, for all your conveyancing needs.
So, for me, I thought it was really well run. I know I've heard murmurings and mutterings and people don't like things changing and things like that, but I think it was really well run on the day, considering the world. I mean, it's the world's still scary, and there's a lot of people out there that are scared about it as well still. And I think it's important to kind of give a reassuring feel when you're there that every measure has been taken as possible to be taken. I'd liked the briefing package kind of on the website and things like that that we got in advance, you know, as to the rules and things like that. They were as clear as possible. I wish it could have come sooner, but I work in events and I know that the world isn't easy at the moment with planning for anything like that. So it's, in my opinion, I do believe that they got it out probably as quickly as possible, especially with it being a council run stadium. They've got to run it past the council for everything.
Yeah.
I know I heard a lot of muttering on the day about why we have to wear masks whilst we're in the stadium. And I understand you're able to sit in a restaurant and take your mask off, but then you're in an open air stadium where you're spaced out, but you have to leave your mask on. But I think it was right to do it in the first instance, because again, when you're stood in a stadium, it's different than a restaurant.
Yeah.
You're stood up and shouting and screaming at the referee. And
yeah, I think that's someone did tweet. To be fair, someone did say that to me from another club, and actually when people say that, it makes a bit more sense to you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That, you know, if people, because a lot of the time it's well, not that it's uncontrollable, but it's like you're not necessarily thinking, oh, I'm going to put my mask back on to shout, do you know what I mean?
That's it. To be perfectly honest, when someone scores a try, half the time, sometimes you don't even see it coming, and before you know it, you stood up jumping, shouting, screaming, and your mask is on your face.
Yeah.
And again, I think it ties into, there's a lot of people that are maybe still quite scared, that the vulnerable that have had to shield maybe for so long, or are there on their own, or they're bringing an elderly parent with them or something like that, where if it makes someone else feel comfortable as well, it's a minor inconvenience. I was just happy to see a game for the first time in a year and a bit.
Well, and I mean, I know a few, yeah. I've seen a few people say, you know, about bringing back, you know, what maybe elderly fans or perhaps more vulnerable fans and the issues with that. What did you make of the bag situation? Obviously, you've got to have a see-through bag, but that's predominantly because they can't search them.
That's it.
For COVID reasons.
It's because they can't search them. Like I say, I work in events, so we've had to cover a lot of this for, say, social distance concerts and things like that. So it's not about just, they've got to make sure that the stadium is safe, because obviously at the end of the day they can't bring projectiles in. Da, 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 da. You've got to be clear on that, but you've got to protect the staff that are doing the security in terms of can't touch, like as little interaction as possible. Same for, it goes both ways. It protects you because you don't know who has or who hasn't come into contact. Yes, it's a pain in the backside. It's a pain in the backside because you want to get a pie and a pint as well. I missed getting a pie and a pint at half time. But again, I understand that right now, for three games at least, we have to, it's going to be a trial and error. And I think the message was clearly put out there. The only thing that did kind of, I thought, was propped up was a lot of people were bringing in, you know, like soft drinks, like bottles of Coke and bottles of lemonade. Yeah. Which is fine, but then at the gate they were being told to take the lids off.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, I can't put it down. Like, I saw someone who had it, did that, came in, and as soon as he sat down, the drink fell over.
Yeah, because like, oh, yeah, it was windy.
Yeah.
It was windy, yeah. Yeah, it's a funny one, that, isn't it?
Like, is there a way of giving maybe even something like a disposable cup that's got a top on that we can do, or something that they can decant it into then, if that's the case? Like how you get the dispo cups with like the tops.
Yeah, yeah. I think because people listening may correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the issue with the tops is that, because if it's got a top on, it's more likely to be used as a missile.
Yeah, it's a projectile. That is generally the reason. And I understand it, but again, I think people on the day, they followed the rules, they'd done it, brought in a clear bag, brought themselves a drink, then you weren't allowed the top on, it was like, oh, for God's sake.
Yeah, well, especially for that length of time as well, you might have needed two drinks, so...
It was a long wait beforehand. We were in Block D, so we were there about an hour and a half before kickoff. It was a long wait.
Yeah, it was. I think I was there an hour and 20, I think, before.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I suppose looking at the roadmap as well, hopefully, if everything goes to plan, the restrictions are going to ease again on June 21st. So, hopefully, with the two more matches, and then after then, hopefully, it'll be a little bit more...
They'll learn. Every time they do one of these matches, they'll learn something new maybe as well. They might say, right, okay, we could readdress this. Or maybe they might say, right, maybe we could get people in a bit quicker, because I did feel it was a bit of a long wait for quite a small amount of people at the time to come in. Maybe they could readdress that, make it a little bit quicker and a less lengthy of a wait. But for three games, it's just what we have to deal with to be able to see some rugby.
Yeah. I don't know how... I've seen a few comments on in terms of the timings. They're not sure whether people, you know, whether the timings were checked that much. Yeah. I suppose part of the challenge is that there's not many turnstiles in operation anymore. Whereas
there's only four, isn't there?
Yeah, clearly, if you had the old East Stand turnstile, the corners open, you could maybe get people in. Because I think that's the problem. It's the entry points, isn't it? It's the getting people through. Because it, you know, in many ways, it didn't really make sense how the exit happened, because obviously everyone just sort of went at once.
They made the announcement of stay in your seats, but then stewards started letting people out, or maybe a bit of again, once they let them out of the aisles, yes, it was controls going out the aisles, but it was still every block was let out at the same time. So when you're inside the concourse, kind of going out, you've still got a chunk of people.
Yeah,
I think I was expecting that to maybe be done differently, a little bit more control, a little bit more like you send a block at a time and then the next block and then the next block, I thought, rather than kind of everything from every block.
Yeah, I think the problem is sometimes is obviously once one starts, everyone follows, don't they? And,
that's it. It's a little bit of a mass get out.
But good to be back and hopefully gradual improvements over the next few weeks.
That's it. Fingers crossed. Hopefully not just in attendances, but in the team as well.
Very good. So, Mike, first game back as a fan on Sunday, what did you make of it all?
Well, first thing, it was really good to be back. I've watched all the games this season on the hourly. And I mean, it's okay watching it on the TV, but it doesn't beat actually going and waking up on Sunday morning and it's game day. And then you're all Sunday morning, like you're looking forward to it. And then you get ready, off you go, enjoy the game, and then a few pints afterwards. Have a talk about the game, either like celebrate or drown our sorrows. So it was really good. Yeah, really missed it.
Yeah, and I guess it's one of them things, you know, you saying that your little ritual from a match day, I suppose that's one of the things that people underestimate how important it is to, you know, as a part of your life, isn't it? It's not just about the rugby itself, it's about the whole day and how that shapes into your life.
Absolutely. And it goes like, if they get beat, it kind of like spoils your week. Yeah. If they win, you know, if you win, you wake up Monday morning and like a spring in your step. But if they get beat, dear me. So it's been a grim few weeks for all Widnes fans, I would imagine.
Yeah. You know, and it was a good game for fans to come back to. And, you know, obviously I'm lucky enough that I've been going to games, and I do think that, I suppose you could say it's for all clubs, but I do think that some of the things that have happened over the past few weeks may have gone a bit different had there been fans there.
Yeah.
I just think some clubs have that nature about them. Whereabouts did you sit? Did you get near to where you normally sit, or are you somewhere different?
No, we were lucky. We sat more or less in our normal seats in the north stand, which is just on the halfway line. And it was pretty good. It was very good. It was a good day. And, you know, despite all the, like, you like had to be like there by a certain time, and like you had to sit in your like seats all the time, I could put up with all that. And even the constant like announcements about the like stay in your seat and, yeah, and like socially distanced and all that. But I think there's one thing that they could look at, and that is getting away from the face coverings. Because we're outside, like we're sat down and we're socially distanced. So why like you've got to sit there with a like a mask on for the best part of 3 hours? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, the weather on Sunday, it was actually beneficial wearing a mask. It kept my face warm, I think, for most of that.
Well, I wore glasses for the match.
Oh, so you were steaming up with...
And it kept steaming my glasses up. So I'm afraid it had to come down a little bit.
Yeah. Did you find... I mean, the ordering process was okay, wasn't it? And getting into...
Oh, yeah, easy, right. Easy. Let's say, like, I've ordered tickets for the like Whitehaven at London and Sheffield games. So, easy, yeah, easy.
Excellent. Well, Mike, thanks very much for coming on and telling us your experience. I appreciate that.
It was a great pleasure. And it was very nice seeing you.
So, Martin, first game back as a fan at the weekend. Just tell me what you thought of the whole organisation of getting in the ground and being around the ground.
I suppose in terms of the restrictions that were in place, it was as possibly as good as it could be. I know we had to be in for 20-2, which is obviously a long time to wait before kickoff, and there's nothing you can really do other than just sit at your seat with the bars closed and everything. So it was a little bit boring, but I suppose just being back in the ground and being at the game was worth it in the end.
Yeah, I mean, I must admit, I did wonder whether there was any chance of some pre-match entertainment, but I suppose that would have been a COVID restriction as well. They did play the highlights of the World Club Challenge win on the scoreboard. I'm not sure where you were sat and whether you could see.
Yeah, we were sat with our back to scoreboard actually, but I must admit I didn't see that. But I was pretty impressed with the new scoreboard. Council putting the hand in the pocket there, so that was good. Yeah.
and how good was it to be back at the match and how much you missed it and stuff?
Yeah, I think I was saying to people I sit with that, you know, it's clear that the team. You could tell at the start of the game suffering from a bit of a lack of confidence, and I think when that started to come back, you know, things started to click in place a bit, because I was obviously worried the last few weeks. The performances have been, well, if you described them as dreadful, it'd probably be a compliment. But I thought, you know, parts of the game we looked really good on Sunday, and I think part of that will be the standard of the opposition. I don't think Whitehaven are going to be the strongest team that we play, but you know, we seemed to get a bit more rhythm and confidence as the game went on. And then obviously nothing builds confidence like putting some tries on the board. So, yeah, it was good to see. But I think there are obviously bigger tests that lie ahead for the squad. How they back it up on Sunday will be interesting as well, because on paper that should be a game that we should win. But, you know, let's see. But I think the impact of the fans being in there, you could see on the team as well. I think some of the performances we've seen in recent weeks, we wouldn't necessarily have seen had there been supporters in there baying for blood in some cases, I think so.
Yeah, definitely. Did you have to change your match day routine at all? Or, you know,
I live in Manchester anyway, so I tend to leave quite early for the games, but I think we probably got there earlier than we would have, and obviously we didn't go for a drink before the game. We just had to get inside and make sure we were in the seat and stuff. So, yeah, it'd be nice when hopefully these next two home games are out of the way and we can get back to a little bit of normality of turning up a little bit later than that.
So thanks to Chris, to Kevin, Martin, Mike and Nicola for contributing to this podcast. Thanks to the other people who reached out to me. Hopefully we'll get you on in a future podcast. May well make a little fan segment
a regular feature of upcoming podcasts. Thanks, as always, to the sponsors, PD Law Solicitors, Arnold Gorse Financial Management, Parklands FC and Whistle. Witness are away at Oldham this weekend, and then the following week it's the Cup semi-final away at Featherstone. We'll be back for an episode just after that game, so see you then.